Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
What's the matter?
Well, we had a little show meeting yesterday, and Audrey decided to...
She kept it going?
Yeah, she decided to stay over at the bar after we left, and she said she's feeling a little bit today, so, you know.
I mean, I'm either one of two things. I'm either going to be a great time, because I'm still drunk, or I'm going to puke in that trash can in about 5 minutes. We'll figure it out as we go.
They don't have to be mutually exclusive. You can be both. You can still be a great time and puke in the trash can.
That while we were there having our meeting, we were sitting outside the... Waitress comes over. Audrey orders a Guinness, and she's like, "Nah, you drank it all last time you were here."
Audrey
got so mad at the waitress. She's like, "Did that bitch just call me out for drinking all the Guinness last time I was here?"
Yep.
I was so nervous. What if it would have been a very important business meeting? calling me out.
You saw her get so mad, and then 2 seconds later, she said, "I'll just take whatever you have." Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Listen live on the free radio.com app.
All right, let's get things going. Some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start today's show with some bad news?
You know, we talk about how people are awful sometimes, but it's hard to imagine being as awful as some. And, of course, you know, you talk about people that are out there killing others or whatever. Uh-huh. This isn't quite that bad.
What happened?
It's close. A dude has been arrested after he was allegedly burglarizing homes while families were away at funerals.
Oh, what a piece of garbage.
Ronald Rose was charged with residential burglary and grand theft between $20,000 and $100,000, according to the Florida Sheriff's Office. A detective was investigating one of the more recent burglaries, and it was discovered there were at least 9 others in the area that also occurred while the victims were at funerals. All 10 burglaries happened in a relatively short window between October 1st of last year and February 8th of this year.
I hate this guy so much. I mean, you hear about this. This one, funerals is one step even below when people are, like, at church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they're at a funeral, and they're already dealing with something
that's
just catastrophic and awful. And then you come home to your house after being at this funeral and this wake and mourning, and you're just devastated, and your house is robbed. Cut this guy's fingers off.
Whenever you type out my obituary whenever I pass, can you please say, if you ever burglarize my home, she will haunt you? So maybe that would be like a deterrent or something.
I was thinking...
Someone's going to be like, oh, this obituary. Okay.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, no surprise here, right? A bunch of people have lost their jobs or have had to rethink their careers because of everything that's happened in the past year. But 1 in 10 Americans in the U.S. may have to switch occupations post-pandemic.
That's
1 in 10 is a lot.
Yep.
So about 17 million people all told likely be forced to leave their jobs, take up new occupations by 2030 as COVID-19's after effects continue to destroy huge swaths of especially lower paying positions in a labor market that was primed for disruption even before the pandemic. But obviously, as we talk about all the time, the pandemic has fast-forwarded a lot of things by about 10 years. Women, minorities, young, less educated, probably going to be hit the hardest as 17 million Americans are part of the more than 100 million people worldwide that the Institute forecasts will need to leave their jobs and enter new lines of work by the end of the decade.
That is insane.
Yep.
Thinking about it from just a perspective of, we already know that women are staying home because daycares just aren't open. And if they are open for the most part, it's just the exact cost of whatever, you know, a one household.
I know so many people who have one income because, not because they, you know, it's because it's cheaper to stay at home than it is to go to work for one of the significant others.
The amount of jobs that have been lost by women specifically in this pandemic, it's shaking.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the numbers and you're like, okay, well, cool. The U.S. added, you know, 400,000 jobs this month. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. Women somehow ended up losing
16,000 or whatever it was.
It was like 600,000 one month. It was crazy.
Sad.
So, yeah, the amount of jobs that are going to be moving is not a huge surprise. But it's not just here in the U.S. So this actually covered 8 leading economies and included China, Japan, Germany, U.K., as well as the U.S. And that was about in total 1 in 16 workers across all of those huge economies are going to have to change their jobs. So crazy stuff.
That's why, I mean, I'm curious about how, you know, there's some of these European countries that are talking about, like, universal basic income because it's automation. And like, obviously, the pandemic did a number. But the real scary thing that I think in the next 10 years, like, or, you know, when your, say, your kids are entering the workforce the next 20 years, Dave, is automation. Like, what jobs are going to be left that, like...
Tax robots instead of people. What a novel concept.
Oh.
Tax robots on their productivity. And you go, well, you can't tax robots. You're like, you can tax a human being, but you can't tax a robot.
And you said corporations
BS, you
were
can't.
People.
Yeah, BS,
if corporations
you can't tax
are people,
a robot.
Then so tax the hell out of the person who owns the robots.
Exactly. Like each robot should be taxed on its productivity, just like each human is taxed on its productivity. It's not a novel concept. It's not even a new concept.
You ever think we're going to be into a position like
I just want to tax the hell out of that uppity ass Mars rover. It's all like, oh, look at me. I landed on a Mars.
I know how to make a landing.
That's pretty cool. It's going to be like a helicopter, man. We're going to fly a helicopter on another planet.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Apple is hiring engineers to develop 6G wireless. Do we even really have 5G yet? What is going on?
I haven't experienced 5G yet.
I thought 5G was the cause of everybody's problems.
Coronavirus and gay frogs.
Super gay frogs.
If I could drive to my house and not drop a call, I would just be happy with that.
How is gay frogs anybody's problem?
No one's. Unless you're a princess, then you got problems.
I mean, I kind of...
What? There's not gay frog princesses?
You're saying
there couldn't be a gay little princess out here kissing gay little frogs?
Well, I guess so.
I like to think of the frogs being gay as they leap from one lily pad to the other. Doesn't that make it a lot more fun?
It does. They're more theatrical.
Yes, for sure. It's like a Broadway production
of
a sudden. But yeah, Apple hiring engineers to develop 6G wireless. Again, sure, whatever. Okay, fine.
Can we just get better service that like it doesn't cut out on the freeway?
That's all I ask.
Or at my house.
At my house all the time.
Yeah.
I never can complete
like
a phone
I'm
call.
Not on bootleg wireless. Man, I'm paying one of the big two.
I'm paying a ton of money for this crappy service. Man, there's nothing worse than when you move into a new house or a new apartment and then you realize your cell service sucks there.
Oh, you got it.
Like, oh, I got to move.
Yeah.
That's me in my apartment. I have to go by my back door every time I make a phone call. I can't make a call anywhere else in my apartment.
What?
And that's not even a euphemism, right?
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Hard to get down there.
So the former CEO of Facebook has a message for us. Delete Facebook.
Is that the guy? Is that the Napster guy?
No. So you're thinking about the Sean...
Justin Timberlake,
yeah. The former Facebook CEO revealed the most worrying part of the tech giant's media shutdown in Australia. He says the company now has more power than the world's leading governments. Australia's former CEO of Facebook has accused the social media giant of trying to bully and intimidate the country by banning its news sources. They finally came to a resolution on this, but as you'd expect, the idea that so much local media that was credible and reliable has been wiped out by Facebook. Yeah, and local has been wiped out by Facebook. And we were talking a little bit about this yesterday off the air. It's like you have all these newsrooms around the country in every single city all over the place that do put out reliable
investigations, things that matter
to
the community.
News information, then people that have been there for decades and have been doing it and are well-trusted and respected. And they all got fired about a decade ago because Facebook came along and they're like, well, look at all these impressions that we're getting you for your advertisers.
All you have to do is post a cell phone video of you doing something and it's going to get 50 times the engagement.
And then it turns out that Facebook was just lying about all of those numbers. But in the meantime, all of those local reporters were getting fired. And so now they're just gone.
Yep.
And Facebook has scooped up all of the news reporting ability. And we all see where that's gotten us.
I actually don't hate the idea of news not being able to be shared on Facebook without them deciding to pay the news sources for their news, because honestly, Facebook is just a cesspool of misinformation to begin with.
Yep.
And if there's no news being spread, maybe that will curtail some of the fake information that's being passed. It's like, maybe this is a good thing for Australia. I don't know. I just feel like Australia is doing it right again.
Do you guys think that we'll see the demise of Facebook in the next 20 years?
I hope in the next two.
We have been saying for a while that if our work didn't make us keep a Facebook,
we wouldn't have it.
I wouldn't have it. I would not have it.
But how many people do that, though? How many people find that one excuse?
But I don't use it, though. I mean, not like we have our broadcast that we do on there, but we prefer twitch.tv/DaveMahoney or DaveMahoney.com.
Bang.
But I don't look at my feed. I don't look at anything. It just exists so our page can exist.
Yeah.
That's the only, like, I have no desire. Like, there's nothing, there's no joy that I can derive from anything on Facebook.
Yeah, when's the last time you logged on to, I mean, really any social media, but especially Facebook, and then logged off and went, that was a good investment of time.
So, yes.
Like I said, I've curated some of my Instagram, which I know is owned by Facebook, but it's different because there's not news being shared.
Less opinions.
But all I follow is dogs and bourbon and food, which are three things. And like
makes
I do get
happy.
I do not like sharing like a nice cute picture of a sleepy German Shepherd with Audrey.
Yes. And honestly, you I don't know how you've curated your explore page to
go
so
not interested.
Immaculately
not,
only dogs.
Not interested. You have to go not interested on like every influencer chick in.
See, that's all it is for me. Is like it's a bunch of chick in bikinis. I'm like, why don't I look at
like.
That many chicks in? I don't like a bunch of
but
bikini
it sees
pictures.
What, it sees what you're looking at.
Stop judging me.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Dave, Mahoney, Audrey, and Ian. Good morning to each one of you, besides Ian. Anyways, do you all think rock and roll is dead? I know that's a pretty broad question, but just answer the damn question.
Message deleted.
No, man, rock and roll is not dead. They've been saying rock and roll is dead for the past 40 years.
And
it just changes.
And rock changes, yeah. I mean, like, rock, they considered, like, Elvis Presley was like, the biggest rock star in the world.
They
and,
also thought that Fred Durst was going to bring it back. Like, can we just stop
well,
with
Fred
all
Durst
the bold predictions?
Fred Durst was one of the biggest rock stars in the world
I know.
For a moment in time.
And
then rock
that stopped.
In 99.
And that's okay. Yeah. That stopped.
Now it's Machine Gun.
No, it is not. No, well, Post Malone is the probably out of the new guys who are out there doing it is probably one of the biggest rock stars.
Oh, for sure.
In
I mean,
the world,
you think about the huge
generation.
Rock stars, right? I mean, it's like Dave Grohl is the guy that's been the dude for the past 25, 30
sure.
years, right? And then he's probably handing the torch to somebody like Post Malone.
I think Post Malone is
he's a huge rock star.
Absolutely. But I mean, you've got guys who are like Mick Jagger, they're still alive and they're still
which also how?
I mean,
how is that possible?
I mean, he's probably well pickled.
Steven Tyler and Mick Jagger and Alice Cooper. You're like, all these guys are still going.
Ozzy's still around?
Ozzy is still
Ozzy
alive.
Ozzy stopped dyeing his hair black, and he looks old.
Well,
Ozzy, I don't think Ozzy fair, knows Ozzy he's alive anymore.
I mean, Ozzy's been making music since literally the 60s.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got a long career. But also, Ozzy making a song with, say, a Post Malone.
Yeah.
And it was so good.
It's the passing of the torch. Yeah, sure.
Like,
it just changes. I mean, they always say that the day you become old is when you stop liking new music, right?
Absolutely.
Because you've just decided, my glory days are behind me. Mm-hmm. And so that music from whenever it was, whether it's 1992 or 1972 or 2002, that's when my life was the best.
I love 90s grunge alternative. That's what I was in, like middle school and high school. During that era, it holds a fond part of me. And anytime I hear it, it brings me back in many ways.
Right.
But I love new stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many times you can hear Nirvana, Nevermind.
I've heard it probably.
How many times do you think you've heard that song?
20,000 times in my life.
Probably, right?
Maybe.
And I don't think, so do you ever hear a song all the time and then never remember the lyrics to
always.
The songs?
I can't remember lyrics for anything.
If you ask me to write the lyrics for Nirvana, Nevermind right now, just off memory, there's no way.
But you've heard it so many
times. I mean,
many
I could get a couple of
know.
Them, like, Here We Are Now, Entertain Us, blah, 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 blah. That's about it. Yeah.
I could probably write Weird Al, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
That's.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What was the last big YouTube rabbit hole you guys went down? Curious. You know, I can see Mahoney going hard on food competition videos.
Message deleted.
Am I the only one that doesn't ever go down YouTube rabbit holes?
Me
just ever.
I like doing it. And when I was in the hospital, this guy's right, because I didn't eat for 2 weeks. I literally did not eat solid food for 2 weeks. All I drank was garbage Ensure, which if I never see another Ensure again, I will be a happy
cool
man.
That, yeah.
Yeah. But I went down like there's a YouTube series called Eat the Menu, where this guy will go to, like, say, a Wendy's, and he went to a Shake Shack, and he went to all these different places and ate everything. It went to a Jack in the Box. The Jack in the Box one is ridiculous. Ate every item on the entire menu.
Like in the same sitting?
It was over the course of a couple hours because it takes, you know, I mean, we take a place like Jack in the Box and they have like 100 items.
See, that just doesn't seem entertaining
but it,
to me.
But it is.
Is it?
This guy's skinnier than me.
Oh, but it looks so painful.
Really?
It
Holy
looks so
cow.
Painful. Like, I've done that. Like, that's like a non-conspiracy rabbit hole I've gone down, but if you go down like the Bilderberg rabbit hole when you're like super high, whatever.
No, I don't. I've heard that there's a Jack in the Box that summons the Dark Lord in the Denver airport.
And yeah, that is accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's right next to that great Panda Express.
Oh, I love that Panda Express.
That's maybe the best Panda Express in an airport in the world.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Whenever you feel down or maybe bad about something you did or just not really feeling the vibe, I want you to do this. Just remember that some people listen to Kid Rock and actually relate to his lyrics. You are not one of those people. That is something to be proud of.
Message deleted.
I bought I Am the Bull God the day it came out. I had like Kid Rock's very first album when he had a flat top. I forget what it was called, something in grits. Like I'm not gonna act like I was too cool not to like Kid Rock in 1999 to like 2002, 2003.
Oh, I like Kid Rock still like
ball with the ball, cowboy.
I mean, cowboy. Tell me you don't get a little bit. You're like
cowboy.
I'm like revved up and ready to go. Like,
let's get a little bit trashy here, but I'm down for it. You know, I'm not gonna play this whole song because.
His first album was called Grit Sandwiches for Breakfast, and it was a rap album.
So trashy.
Oh, so
if I had a Bush Light right now, I'd crack it open, man.
Sorry, I mispronounced or mislabeled the I Am the Bull God. I Am the Bull God was on Devil Without a Cause, which went 11 times platinum.
He went platinum 11 times. 11 times. You know
I
about
love that,
that
we're defending him.
Text the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY.
Here's what's making news.
Yeah, sure. Don't see any problem with this. Russia and China are ready to sign a historic deal to build the first moon base. Great.
Huh. That doesn't seem problematic at all.
I think the whole idea of any country trying to conquer space and or plant flags or take ownership of is a pretty bad idea.
Leave the moon alone.
We can't figure things out here. We don't need to be starting messing around out there. They're going to collaborate, supposedly, on an international lunar structure, which was thought up by China, the latest build in the space race against the United States. The purpose of the International Lunar Research Station is to create a long-term robotic presence on the moon by the start of the decade before eventually establishing a sustained human presence.
Why?
Stop, right?
Leave it alone. And nothing good comes from space. Space is scary. Leave it alone.
They're going to build Starbucks out there?
First moon, Starbucks.
Because, I mean, I can't live in a colony if there's no coffee.
Very fair.
That's going to be knockoffs, Starbucks. It's not even a real one.
Be like Caribou Coffee, which I will say, the superior coffee.
Oh,
over Starbucks?
Take.
Oh, yeah.
You bite your tongue.
When was the last time you had a Caribou Coffee?
I don't know.
Where but I know I like
Starbucks. You're from Minnesota.
Do they have a bunch of caribous?
That's
in
where they started.
Yeah, man. You don't know about caribou.
I mean, I live fake ass Minnesota.
Yeah, man.
I'm not a fake ass Minnesota. How dare
He's
you?
A phony. I like it.
I did leave Minnesota when I was 16 years old, though. So I mean, I don't know if I was that big of a coffee drinker from 0 to 15.
Okay.
You left and the caribous came in.
That's right. See what happens? I leave and the caribous take over.
A majestic animal, the caribous.
Gorgeous.
I mean, really. I love his performance of what is it, Jan, or what's the one from Frozen's name?
Jan.
Is it Jan?
I don't know.
So just agree with him, and we can move on.
You know who I'm talking about,
Jan.
Olaf.
Jan. Olaf.
No,
Olaf's the snowman.
I don't know.
Come on, man.
It's the only character I know.
I'm trying to think of all the people from Frozen I know.
Elsa, Anna.
Uh-huh.
Olaf. Jan.
Sven.
Yeah. Olaf.
Sven.
It's all
so
the same.
Life is about timing. We can agree with that, right? I mean,
yes.
Much of success many times has to do with timing and luck.
100%.
And in this case, she timed it right. Rush Limbaugh's widow, Catherine, who is 44 years old, is going to inherit his $51 million Palm Beach property.
Oh, just that's
that's
just the
house.
Oh, no.
And $600 million.
Yeah, that seems about right.
And she is 44.
Does he have kids?
Somehow, she just got a better deal than Fernando Tatis Jr.
That's what I was wondering, too. I don't think he has any kids.
Not that I know of. He earned $85 million last year after signing a new contract before his diagnosis that awarded him $70 million annually to host his radio show. He's making $70 million a year to host his radio show and $85 million as a signing bonus
last
year.
I just love that Stern was making so much more.
Yeah.
You know, very few people remember the Stern and Limbaugh battles from like the
back
90s,
early
90s, when they, you know, they were the two biggest brands in radio, and Rush always was like, would hold it over Stern that he made more than him, and he was on more stations than Stern. And now Stern works 3 days a week and makes $100 million plus a year.
Yep.
Insane.
Like the just doing whatever he wants, saying whatever he wants.
And actually, if you haven't listened to his interviews have gotten better over
Stern?
The years. Yeah,
he's always been a phenomenal interviewer.
One of the best.
It's become less shock jockey and more insightful when the people sit down with him. And it's, I mean, he'll still ask him if they are into anal.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the important questions.
The important stuff.
The important questions.
Yeah.
That is important.
Only if it's appropriate with somebody like Seth Rogen.
I was going to say Gerard Depardieu.
Earmuffs.
Cover your ears.
All right, Audrey, a little bit hungover here. Let's see if she can pull it together for Cover Your Ears. No, I mean, am I giving too hard of a time?
No.
Okay. I mean, you were just sleeping in the studio.
It's deserved.
See, last time I slept in the studio, my ass crack was completely out.
It was.
So you were still much better off
than
I. He was
leaning over on the desk here, and his shirt was just coming up a little bit, and it was just nothing but plumber crack.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
It was just nothing but
I
ass.
Had washed a hoodie, then it shrank, but it was my favorite hoodie.
So you just kept wearing it.
It was pulling up his undershirt that he had underneath it, and so it was bloop, you know. Oh, yeah.
I flicked a penny in there. I never got that penny back.
Did your wish come true?
All right, so pull it together. Here we go, guys.
Okay.
Cover Your Ears. These are all popular songs that we've heard many times before, and you guys are just trying to figure out what they are. You're going to ring in by saying your name when you think you know the correct answer. We have 30 seconds for each one of these songs, all right? So you can ring in whenever you think you know the answer. The 30 seconds will play out, but we're looking for the artist and the song for a full point. Just the artist or the song will get you a half point. We have three. We do have a fourth one as a bonus if necessary, but three is the number in the main round. Are you both ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. On to number one and cover your ears. Good luck.
Still I try.
No rest for cross stops in my mind.
Let's
on my own. Here we go.
Ooh. Just go get them hoes. I'm telling you. Yeah. Hey.
My eyes feel like they're gonna bleed.
Yeah, they bleeding, bitch. Yeah.
Right up and bulging out my skull.
Come on, come on.
All right, so that's 30 seconds. No matter what I tell Mahoney to do, whether ring in by saying your name or raising your hand, he always does the opposite. I said,
Audrey.
Say your name, but Audrey, yes.
No.
No, go ahead, Mahoney.
No, go ahead, Mahoney.
Green Day Brains, too.
Yeah. Full point for Mahoney.
I actually thought that was Green Day at first. I thought he was just kind of like rapping along to a track. It didn't sound that bad at the very beginning.
It's all right. It's all
then
right.
I realized it wasn't him later on, but I kind of wish he would have rapped along rather than just kind of hyped him.
I mean, but we love a good hype man moment.
Full point for Mahoney. On to number two. Here we go.
And all the roads that lead us there are winding. And all the lights that light the way are blinding. There are many things that I would like to say to
Audrey.
You, but I don't know how. And baby, are you going to be the one that saves me?
Audrey.
Oasis Wonderwall.
Yep.
I rang in first.
You didn't
say your name.
I
literally just gave you a hard time for not saying your name.
I don't want to interrupt the performance by these artists.
Well,
you
Audrey
don't respect music.
I don't respect you. Audrey with the full point.
I like that little 50s.
That was a vibe, wasn't it?
Yeah. I respect Wood.
It's got 1.6 million views on YouTube right now.
Was that Richard Cheese?
No, that was not Richard Cheese. That was actually, I believe, from Mexico.
Okay.
Nice. I loved it. I liked it.
Yeah. Okay. Full point for each of you. Third and potentially final one here. Good luck.
That is maddening.
How can you make a sad, depressing song more sad and awful?
Yes.
Turn the reverb down. My gosh.
For the win, that was Foster the People with Pumped Up Kicks.
No, it wasn't.
No, what are you talking about? What?
Not even close.
Actually, the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, sorry. That's,
what is it?
I know who it is.
I don't know.
Yes, you did.
It's Pearl Jam.
Is it Pearl Jam?
It's Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam.
It's a cover of My Baby.
It was literally Pearl Jam's biggest song ever, believe it or not.
Which is hard to believe.
It's not My Baby.
Frankie Jane and the Cavaliers originally did it.
Okay, I'll give you a half point, Mahoney. It's Last Kiss, guys.
Whatever.
Last Kiss.
Revoke a point because he said Foster the People.
It sounded terrible.
I couldn't hear the words until after I had said it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It sounded like Pumped Up Kicks.
No, it didn't.
It did.
We're gonna go to the bonus round.
Okay.
Here we go.
Flip on the table. Wrestle with Jimmy. Something is a bubble in behind my back. All it's ready to blow.
Panera Bread.
What?
For the win, Mahone. Come
on. Weezer say it ain't
there
so.
You
did you punk us on purpose?
No, the guy just put a Panera ad at the end of his cover. I don't know why.
And I love it.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Hangover 2021 update. Audrey's ordered a full pizza at 6:55 in the morning. Hold on, what is going on with your microphone over
there? I can't wait for it to get here.
I can't believe you found a pizza place that is open this early.
We'll see how it holds up. It's not going to be here for an hour. So.
Is it from a place you've ever ordered from before?
Nope.
Is it just
like
somebody's
only
house?
Nope. She's taking a gamble on
this one, guys. I also got some mozzarella sticks, so it was a combo.
Today is going to be a party.
Let's get to the news. It's Top Stories.
So we all talk about how we love to make money by not actually working, right? And most of us don't ever actually figure out how to do that effectively. Yeah. But this guy figured out how to make money while sleeping, like actually literally by, or maybe more accurately, trying to sleep. A 26-year-old from Los Angeles made $16,000 in one night on his Twitch live stream. Most people are probably familiar with Twitch, but in case you're not, it was a platform that was originally designed called Justin TV as a video game streaming service, and now it's become a vertical that has all kinds of stuff, including our radio show. We broadcast on there every day, but it's got all sorts of everything.
Something for everybody, literally.
And in this case, this guy decided that he was going to put a live stream, a camera on himself while he was trying to sleep. But he did something interesting, which was the live text to speak, right? So somebody would type in a message, and then it would audibly say it on his end.
In his room while he was trying to sleep. Yeah.
And so people were messing with him, like barking like a dog, and then also giving his Alexa commands to do stuff, turn on death metal or whatever it is, and just messing with him. Because so many people got into it, he made 16 grand in a single night while just live streaming himself trying to sleep while people were messing with him.
So Mahoney, I don't know if you watched the video of this or not, because I didn't, but whenever I was reading the article, I was like, I'm wondering if, in order for him to get to the $16,000 mark, you had to actually like try and get as many subs or however many bits or whatever to actually make that alert play.
Yeah, you had to donate a certain amount or gift a certain amount of subscriptions. But making over $10,000 in a single night, that's definitely worth not getting a good night's sleep for.
$16,000 in a single night for a 26-year-old.
Can you do it multiple times, you think?
Maybe. I mean, obviously, he's getting a lot of publicity around the world for this, so I have a feeling that even more people will tune in next time that he does it. But is there anything creepier than knowing somebody's watching you while you're asleep?
But because he set it up himself.
Well, I know, but I don't know what I do in my sleep.
I have to close my closet doors just in case there's someone in there. Oh yeah. I mean, what if you are farting away in your sleep?
You had no idea.
But, like, you ever wake up and your spouse is just, like, looking at you, and you're like, hey, man.
I am that spouse.
What are you doing?
What?
Like, hi, good morning.
Stop it.
No.
Leave me alone.
Give me attention.
I do that on, like, Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings, like, when I wake up before my wife, and I'm like, I'm ready to go outside and walk.
You're like a dog.
And she's asleep. And I'm just like, I don't want to wake her up. She looks so peaceful and so tired. So pretty. Creep.
Such a romantic.
That's even creepier when you're like, oh, she's so pretty.
No,
I'm just going to go sit right here.
You can't get out
of bed to go pee or anything because it's like if you do, you're going to wake them up.
So you're just talking about it. I hear that nonsense.
No.
I don't know about you guys, but I never make a $2 million mistake, or at least not a $2 million mistake that goes in the right direction, right? So a Virginia woman made a mistake while buying lottery tickets online. Accidentally ended up with 50 tickets for a single Powerball drawing and won $2 million. Her name is Betty Wonks, who said she made a mistake while buying the tickets online for the January 13th Powerball drawing. Accidentally bought 50 quick pick tickets for a single drawing instead of one ticket for multiple drawings. One of the tickets matched the first five numbers drawn, missing only the Powerball number 14. She spent an extra dollar to get the power play option for the ticket, which means that she made not one, but $2 million by mistake.
Wow. I mean, you're right. That never happens. And you're always usually pissed, too. Like, when something like that goes down,
yeah.
Like, they accidentally charge your card for too much, or you know, you just weren't paying attention, and that goes down. I'm happy for her. Like, I mean, that sounds like it's life-changing money.
$2 million, hell yeah, it is.
Yeah.
What do you even do with that? Like, by accident, do you feel like you have to pay it forward?
Nope.
Dave and Mahoney, thanks to the 2-Minute Promise, we never play more than 2 minutes of commercials at a time. Back to the show. Alt 107.5.
So tell us about the time that you got scared by an animal or a critter. Mahoney has had numerous incidents over the years where he has been surprised by a scorpion, including the most recent one. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the most recent one in your bedroom, right? The one that you... made your wife.
It was the guest bedroom.
Guest bedroom.
Well, because I had to make sure she didn't fall, Dave. If I fell on her, she would be dead. If she fell on me, yeah. I would just be happy.
But you've had a number of run-ins with different bugs over the years.
Yes.
And has that been the scariest? Is when you get the surprise scorpion or whatever it may be?
When you are not expecting it, and it's like right next to your foot, and you're sitting on the toilet, or you're walking in to get a shirt out of your closet, and it's, you know, above you and getting ready to pounce from the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, not fair that scorpions can live in frozen, like below freezing temperature. They could be frozen and they will come back to life. They can live underwater for 5 days, and they could climb up walls.
Is that true that they can live underwater for 5 days?
Yes.
No.
Yes,
really?
It is.
Gross.
Dude, they are nature's terminators. If they were the size of dogs, we would have serious problems.
Sarah joining us in San Diego. Hey, Sarah, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. So what did you run into?
So I was at the dog park with my 2-year-old and dog, and I was trying to catch my dog. She was being a brat and running around. And so I scooped up my 2-year-old, started running after the dog, and I hear a... And I looked down, and I almost stepped on a baby rattlesnake.
Oh!
Now, I know with copperheads, the babies are more venomous. Is that the case with rattlesnakes as well?
They can't control the venom.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they don't know how poisonous it is, and they get scared. They don't know to not do it, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad that it didn't even get next to your dog. I mean, obviously, you being safe is a concern as well.
Yeah, you
but
and your
the
baby.
Dog.
Right. And my son was running around, too, and he was kind of ran right towards it or over it, too, but the dog was acting up, so I scooped his kid up, you know?
Yeah.
It was weird timing. It was scary.
We do not deserve dogs. Thank goodness for him alerting you guys.
Seriously.
And also, just a little fist bump to God. Thank you for putting the rattles on the rattlesnakes. Like, I do appreciate that.
Seriously?
Like, good thing they're like stealth snakes.
Right. Yeah, man. Hey, Sarah, thanks for the call today, and thank you for giving us a shot there in San Diego. We appreciate you.
So, thanks, guys.
Have a great day. So going to Facebook
but,
here.
Hold on.
What?
If we're going to talk about, like, what if rattlesnakes play cool-ass songs, though?
Like little mariachi band. Yeah.
Like if they were dropping a beat, like, or something, you know, something like something hot, some fire.
Like you
venom.
All of a sudden, you walk into the woods and you hear.
Other little butts.
I'm about to die, but I'm okay with it, man. This is a jam right here.
I feel like this is what I'm going to hear when I'm getting murdered, also.
This is what you're going to hear
when
you murder.
Yeah, I love
LaChona. Jessica on Facebook said we were staying in a cabin in Alaska. We talked a lot about Alaska recently. I was getting ready for bed when my boyfriend was falling asleep. I heard something that sounded like somebody trying to open the cabin door, thinking maybe it was the wrong cabin. But anytime you hear somebody trying to open a door that's not meant to be open, terrifying, right?
Especially if you're in, like, Alaska.
Oh, yeah. What's behind that door?
I decided to peek out of the window before opening the door. Being from Vegas has trained me well. It was a gigantic bear.
Ah, oh, my gosh. And they are so hungry, too. I've been watching a lot of Alaska shows recently. Uh-huh. And I know that the big number one fear in Alaska is a bear.
Another one here, Matthew said, went to the bathroom at a campground when I was young, probably 6 or 7. There was a small path into the woods nearby. My cousin and I ran into 2 small bear cubs. Large tree shaking about 30 feet behind them. We just ran all the way back to the campsite. No idea if it was mama bear, but we just assumed that it was.
Well, bears can run like 30-some-odd miles an
hour. Some bears can run like 45 miles an hour.
Like, what the? Like that? Why is something that big
not
that
acceptable.
Fast?
Yeah.
Why do we paint the Charmin bears like as the nicest bears possible?
And or the Coca-Cola polar bears?
They're
polar
vicious.
Bears are vicious.
Vicious animals.
They will rip your face off and steal your Coke.
And toilet paper.
This one.
Are they drug dealers? Is that what's going on?
They must be.
Pablo Escobar's.
Steve and Mahoney. Every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
So we're talking about surprise encounters with animals or critters. And you guys tell me if you think he has the best or the worst luck. This one texted over to us at 833-YO-DUMMY. I was hauling ass on a highway in Wyoming and drove over a hill almost hitting a small herd of antelope with my car, literally inches away from disaster. Definitely had to clean my shorts after that one.
Ooh.
And one time I was working on my wife's car, changing the brakes on the front, went to pull a piece off and the felt something slide down my fingers. Found a black widow. Just felt very lucky I did not get bit by it.
Yikes.
Oh my gosh.
I had an encounter with an animal whenever I was a small child,
mm-hmm.
small version of myself. And we were at a petting zoo and I went to go like pet with what I thought was like a baby duck. And it was a baby goose.
Oh, and geese are a-holes.
Mama goose.
Yeah, not
came
impressed, huh?
Running, mm-hmm. bit me on my neck.
What?
And I fainted. I passed out in straight.
It was going for the jugular.
You're a fainting goat.
Maybe it was just like baby defense mechanism. I don't know. But I straight up fainted, woke up, and yeah, it was
Did your mom come out and whoop that goose's ass?
I think she probably like... She probably took a picture.
Did
I don't
you have
know.
Goose for dinner that evening?
No. I would, right?
You bite my kid
uh-huh.
on the neck and she passes
Thanks.
Out?
I was maybe five. Oh. I was very small.
Matt in San Diego said, I was out running one night. As I was coming around the corner, I was nearly sprayed by a skunk. We both startled each other, but luckily his butt was facing the other way, and I was able to avoid what could have been a very bad night. Yeah. I'll take it a step further. You've been sprayed by a skunk. It ain't a one-night thing.
No.
Like, that smell is impossible
forever.
To get off.
Yeah. I mean, no even if a babies. Skunk sprays near your house, it feels like it lingers forever.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing I do not miss. But I'm always like, you know, when we walk around, I'm like... There's skunks out here. Oh, wait, no. Weed's legal
That's
now.
Weed.
Oh, man. I just realized that we don't have any skunk about.
But you know how cute skunks are? They are actually very cute-looking animals.
Oh, they can be domesticated, too.
Yes,
and
can.
I hear they make pretty good pets.
Yes. Yeah.
Good companions.
But, like, I don't want it to, like, accidentally sneeze, like a skunk to sneeze, and like, and then just fires it out, man.
Is that how that happens?
I mean, it happens to me. It's got to happen to them.
Merritt said, I opened the door to a barn to walk in and came eye to eye with a giant cat-faced spider who had built a web around the entire dorm frame overnight. I didn't know what a cat-faced spider was.
Oh, my God. That is horrifying.
It looks like a crab,
no.
doesn't it? Like
yes.
it almost looks like it has a shell.
Oh, that is horrible,
and
Dave.
There is a cat face on that spider.
That is. It's all yes. hairy.
I hate
Oh, my God.
So it looks like it has a little shell on the back, but the shell looks like... Like a tiger's face, which is
yeah.
why it's called a cat-faced spider.
Like
but
a,
yeah, it's
an enemy from like from one of the Zelda N64 Zelda. Dude,
yeah.
that is
yeah.
creepy as hell. So I ran into when I was a kid. Pizza night was like Friday night, and there was nothing better.
TGIF and pizza, man.
Like
yeah.
it was like 1988, 1989. So I was like 7, 8 years old, and we ordered a Domino's pizza. I was obsessed with Annoyed, and then obviously timed the. You know, what time the driver's back
of
in the
course.
Day. Like, if he ain't here,
if he's not here in
38
seconds, yeah. get it for free.
We're getting that pizza for free.
They always got there right in time.
They
always
did. I mean, they ran over, like, you know, other cars and whatever. That's why they had to stop doing that.
Yes, yeah, they got into a bunch of car accidents.
I lost my uncle to a Domino's driver. Yep. No, I'm joking.
So we get done, and my parents, like, you know, one of my things was to go take the pizza box out to the trash. Little did I know that my dad thought my dogs had killed a possum earlier that day, so he got the shovel, threw it in the trash. Nobody told me. And
oh, no.
It's late at night. I go in there. I open up the lid
God.
To throw in the pizza box and just go about my rest of my Friday night. And sure enough, the possum was playing possum.
Yeah.
So if you've ever seen an angry possum jump out of a trash can at your face... Maybe
possums,
the most horrifying
possums
moment
just
of my life.
Walking by are terrifying.
Yeah,
they're giant
go.
Zombie rats.
Yeah,
but the babies are so cute.
Well,
they
yeah,
baby possums are cute, but like they turn into like
little demons.
Yes,
yeah, man,
red-eyed. big tooth, long tailed sons of bitches.
Terrifying.
And
I
it hissed.
Imagine your scream.
It hissed.
Ew.
It hissed at me, man.
Poor little Mahoney.
Oh, I hate a possum.
Man, between Mahoney over here pooping his pants because a possum attacked him and Audrey passing out from getting bit by a goose, we are a soft-ass morning show.
Steve and Mahoney, thanks to the two-minute promise, we never play more than 2 minutes of commercials at a time. Back to the show. Alt 107.5.
So some of these are about being just scared. Others of them are like real life and death situations for some of these people. We're talking about being startled by an animal or a critter. In this case, Jamie said, when I was 12, we went out to do some dirt bike races in Lake Pleasant, Arizona. My nephew, who was about 8 at the time, and I got up real early one morning to go exploring. We stumbled across a pack of wild boars with new babies that proceeded to charge at us. We ran and we were chased up a tree. Those boars stayed at the bottom of the tree for over an hour, but nobody could hear us screaming for help because of all of the dirt bikes that were out there.
Oh.
Eventually, my dad came looking for us and scared the boar away with a large tree branch. Never been so scared of nature before in my life.
That's what killed Robert Baratheon.
Wow. Oh, a boar, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was also drunk.
Very drunk.
Very drunk.
This one texted over to us, 833-YO-DUMMY. As a passenger, we were driving quickly on a rural road at about 11 p.m. All of a sudden, the driver swerves a bit to the opposite lane, and we passed a deer that was mostly in the lane that we were just in. He barely even reacted at all after missing a deer by about 2 feet and just said, yeah, you got to go around the butt end of the deer. They don't back up when they get startled. You're like, hell yeah, man. Thank you for saving my life.
I mean, and the fact that deers kill... I mean, so many people every year.
Yeah.
They're, I mean, even though they're not like seeking you out like hippos are in the, you know, in the rivers.
No, but there's
stuff.
A lot more deer than there are hippos,
and
obviously.
And you're not hitting a hippo going 70 miles an hour in a car in through the woods.
Got to have the whistles on the car, man.
Why is it though, whenever you're like driving, they stop and they stare and you have to hit them. But whenever you're out in like the wilderness, you step on a twig and then they run.
Yeah, they take off.
Life.
But they don't hear an F-150 barreling down the road.
A
yeah.
Deer in headlights.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
They're idiots.
They are idiots.
Speaking of deer, Kelly said I was 8 months pregnant and I had to go to work at a bakery very early in the morning. I came downstairs of my apartment, turned the corner right into the face of a frozen young buck. He stared at me. I stared at him. I saw him glance to the left and so did I. And I was standing between him and a doe. Keep in mind, I was 8 months pregnant. So I slowly backed up and let him be on his way. I have never been more scared in my life. It was Bambi. I was scared of Bambi.
Well,
8 months pregnant, like everything is so fragile right then.
Yeah.
You're like, if you just knock me over, it could have awful ramifications.
Yeah. Man, you rolling up on me like this? You got to send out a hunting party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, bud.
Sorry.
It tastes good.
It's your fault. You're delicious.
Yep.
Brecken said a bat got into my house and low ceilings and I'm fairly tall and it was flying around my head. It was in that moment that I discovered I have a fear of things traveling around my head.
Ew. There is an apartment complex that I lived in college and somehow, some way, raccoons got into the walls and they would get into like the cabinets. So like where like above like where the cabinets are. I don't know how. I don't know. I really don't. There was like a wall that kind of like jet setted out and they got in there and so they like bang up against our cabinets and stuff. And that.
Nah, I don't like that.
At night?
Yeah.
Because I feel like they would like slowly start like eating through the walls. And you get really scared.
And they've got the little masks on too. Like they're up to no good.
They're Zorro, but like cuter.
I will say when it comes to weaponizing animals against others, have you ever seen somebody terrorize somebody with seagulls before? Because my younger brother likes to do that to my older sister.
French
fries or Cheez-Its. And all of a sudden, 3,000 seagulls will just descend on my sister who's trying to get a tan.
Oh, man. That's
such a D-bag move. I've got another one from about bats, Dave. It says, it was literally my first night in a new house that I was renting. It was so close to where I work, so I decided to bring all my stuff up there with an air mattress and get ready for a gala that I was attending later on that night. So if you can imagine, after a long night working at a gala, went back to this brand new house, passed out with my dogs. Maybe an hour later, the dogs started going effing nuts. I wake up and there's a bat flying around the room. I literally army crawled across the floor, out the door with the dogs, slammed the door, jump in the car, drive 40 minutes to my old apartment, and stayed the night there without a mattress.
Oh, no.
Do bats? Hell no.
No, man, especially with all the stuff that's been going on this past year with all these viruses and everything else. And you hear about them all coming from bats. You're like, I don't want any part of this.
Nah, man. Plus, they're probably vampires.
Is there anything more terrifying than when a bat or a bird gets into your house? Yeah. You know,
oh, I thought you were going to say hair. I've seen people hair. Get birds in their hair before.
Kat joining us this morning. What's up, Kat?
Hey, good morning. This happened to my sister and I. She had to have been maybe 11 and I was maybe 8. She was taking the trash out to the cans and there she thought like there was like a fur hat in the trash and it happened to be a possum. Oh, so boy. When it uncurled itself, it started hissing at her and she like dropped the trash and ran into the house. She was screaming and we were both screaming and my mom had to end up calling animal control to have the possum taken away.
It's a very mean hat, Mom.
Is she like an anti-fur crusader now?
She's like traumatized.
I bet, man. That messes you up as a kid.
I mean, a possum, yes. Possum skin hat, probably very stylish.
I bet. Oh. Kat, thanks for the call today. I appreciate you. Final one here. This one on Facebook from Jenny. She said, I just moved into a new house and was sitting on the toilet going pee. I looked down and I saw a light-colored, almost clear scorpion running at me.
Wood bark.
And had almost gotten to my foot, and I screamed, jumped up, and ran out the bathroom door, pants still around my ankles, and I left a trail of pee as I went because, try as I might, I could not stop going.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Okay, so I want to know if you guys had to wear crazy uniforms in school, or did you have any, like, dress codes that you had when you were growing up in school? Like, for us, we had the uniforms, and I haven't worn a pair of khakis since then because it was basically just too damn traumatizing.
Message
so
deleted.
So we didn't have uniforms at my school, but I had basically a uniform that I wore every day. I did not wear jeans. There was about 7 years of my life that I did not wear jeans, probably from, like, seventh grade all the way until I was, like, 21.
Khakis guy? Of course you were.
Pleated. Dockers,
ooh,
fat ass stain resistant khakis.
I thought you were they the stain resistant?
Think they were the stain. I don't think we had that technology in the year 1999.
Do you think it's possible that Jim Harbaugh was just a big fan of you when you were
possibly.
Coming up?
And yeah, but I wore that in a polo shirt, either from Abercrombie or Structure, or occasionally. I wasn't really a big into American Eagle, but Abercrombie or Structure polos every day.
So you dress like a guy who works at a call center, essentially.
I didn't tuck it in, though.
Oh, you didn't tuck it in.
It was untucked. With an undershirt.
There wasn't a uniform. I went to a private school for the last 2 years of high school, and they were pretty strict about everything. Mm-hmm. The guys couldn't have hair that came down below their ear.
Oh, no.
So I had like the butt. Really cool butt cut. The short butt cut, but it came right to the ear, so it was like on the edge of dangerous, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, when I went away to college, I grew it out.
I didn't realize the devil spoke to us through long hair.
Through long boy hair, yeah. And girls, of course, very strict about the whole
skirt.
How long the skirt was,
below the knees.
Ellie in our chat said that she got in trouble for rolling up her skirt to make it too short whenever she was in Catholic school.
Ellie. Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm. Ellie.
Damn. I got suspended for wearing a Bad Religion shirt and refusing to take it off.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It was the one that had the big circle with the cross and the red.
Crossed out, essentially. Yeah.
Ellie also said Mahoney dressed like a Blaine in Pretty in Pink.
No, Mahoney dressed like Jake from State Farm.
Please leave a message.
Jake from State Farm looks good.
Yeah, it is.
Why don't they do the take care of the flowers so you know how to be a parent thing anymore? Also, bring back home ec. These TikTok crazies need it.
Message deleted.
Take care of the flowers.
What was he talking about?
We took care of an egg. We had an egg.
Yeah, we
did
had
you
eggs.
Have eggs?
It was like a sack of flour for us. They like made us carry around a sack of flour for
a sack of flour, nothing happened to it. You drop an egg.
A sack of flour will explode if you drop it. What are you talking about?
Man, I've dropped flour before.
You haven't.
We had real like baby dolls that would cry, and you had to feed them, and you would have to get up and fake put on new diapers on them. And it was a week-long thing.
Well, you know,
and they constantly cried.
They have
And if you dropped it, it like cried, the, and it like tallied how many times.
They actually have those babies now that they sell, like the baby alive things. And my kids love them, which drives me crazy because I'm like, we need another thing that cries and poops around here. This is wonderful.
We had the babies in high school, but they had to put them out of commission, unfortunately, because somebody broke into my school late at night and vandalized all the babies. So that's when we had to switch.
Vandalized all the babies.
They wrote on them.
Ian.
It was bad.
Ian.
It wasn't me.
Ian.
I was taking care of my egg. I was at my house. Paying the bills.
Did you guys ever do the thing in, like, I don't know if it was like a industrial technology class or whatever, where you do the egg drop off the roof and it has to survive? We did that with my baby.
Oh my God, your poor baby.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Don't you hate it when you shave your face and you somehow miss a patch and don't realize it until you're in a situation where you can't shave it?
Message deleted.
Yeah, you feel like such a vagrant. You're just like, you one of those little sticks, you know, with a little bandana attached to the back, and you're like hopping trains.
But do you know where your patches come in at? Because you don't traditionally, you're traditionally clean shaven.
Yeah, well, I'm on like basically patchy everywhere. Right?
But I mean,
there's one right here, and then there's one right there, and then there's one right down here.
The thing that's worse than that, like, so when I got back home from the hospital after COVID, I had to shave my beard because I hadn't showered for 10 days, which don't recommend. Don't recommend. But like shaving, like looking at your face after you shave it, after you've had a beard for so long, you look at yourself and you're like, who is this ugly piece of garbage in the mirror? I'm like, oh my God, like what is, like, I'm looking at my wife, I'm like, what are you doing with your life?
Oh, boo-hoo, you guys have to shave your faces. Imagine going to you're a hookup and you're a girl, and you forgot to shave your legs, you forgot to shave your armpits,
we shave our armpits and our stuff too.
You shave your armpits?
Trim it up.
Trim it up. Okay, but I've never looked at a man and been like, oh, nope. You didn't shave your armpits today.
I will tell you this, though. As a guy, if you end up hooking up with a girl and she doesn't have shaved legs, that's fine.
Who cares? I don't care.
I'm not worried about that at all.
When you're young and the throes, everyone makes you feel like you have to be.
No, you don't.
If she didn't shave her legs, many times that means that she didn't plan on hooking up with you.
So it's even
but
hotter.
But it's even, she couldn't resist.
Oh.
Yeah, and you're like, wow.
And you get some nice, like, little exfoliating going on down there.
So scratchy.
I like a nice leg massage.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So hearing from a number of our friends who are watching along and listening along today that are down in Texas, and the good news is that many of the people that have been dealing with days on end of not having any power now have power restored. So we're not out of the woods yet, and Texas is still very much frustrated from what we're hearing from a lot of people that, you know, it's taken so long. Our Texas girl who's in our chat right now said 80 hours.
Wow.
80.
Unreal.
Without water and power. I mean, that's...
With three little kids?
You never really appreciate how just the essentials of life are so precious and so fleeting until they're gone.
Well, there was talk that the power grid was minutes away from completely just being gone.
Really? In Texas?
Yes,
whole power grid?
But the engineers down there saved it. I mean, but minutes away from
that's unbelievable.
Complete and total. I mean, when you have one of the largest states in the country, you know, what being without power, like if the whole state went out without power and they had to like rebuild or, you know, to rebuild their power
grid.
How
long would that take?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it would be horrific.
Yeah, there's still a lot of Texans.
Shout out to engineers. Engineers, for the most part, do a thankless job.
Yeah.
They're much like referees. It's like stuff just works.
And then when it doesn't, everyone freaks out on them and blames them. But then when it does work properly, nobody gives them the credit they deserve.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So the storm, obviously, you know, Texas got just crushed by it. And that slowed down the vaccine for a lot of people. Unfortunately, they're thinking that they're going to be able to make up a lot of that time. But now the storm is moving into the Northeast. So just depending on how severe this storm remains and if there is other issues like this. I mean, because it wasn't. The weather, obviously, in Texas was something that a lot of people weren't expecting and also weren't prepared for, but will this have the same effects in places that are much more accustomed to and prepared for cold weather?
My guess is probably not. I mean, the Northeast has seen some stuff over the years, and you know, they get snow on a regular basis. I mean, we lived in Houston. It is even in the winter, it is traditionally warm.
Yeah.
You know, like I did not wear a coat the entire 18 months we lived in that city.
Speaking of Houston, Ted Cruz was outside of his Houston home today, and he was talking about about all of the bad decisions that he has made as of late, including, you know, going to Mexico during the middle of a crisis in the state that he represents. And as he was talking with the local news, talking about how it was his kid's fault that he decided to go to Mexico, there was a bunch of protesters audibly booing him in the background. I mean, I can't think of a much more significant gaffe than that. I mean, yes, inciting an insurrection, blah, blah, blah. But this is a close second. I mean, the whole fleeing the state that you represent during the middle of a crisis when people don't have water and power.
One of the worst crises that the state has dealt with in a long time. So it will be interesting to see how that all plays out. But, man, bad optics.
Yeah,
bad
and also optics. The whole blaming it on the kids.
Like,
oh, no, what are you doing? Weird move.
I'm okay with that.
Did you
when I have a kid, it's like blaming a fart on the dog. You know?
It's one thing to blame a fart on him, or like I have to go home because I don't want to be at this party because my kid's about to wake up, yeah, or whatever it is. You know,
my kids had to go to Cancun.
Yeah.
They had to. Spring break.
Did you guys see the leaked text message?
Oh, man.
No. See, I don't know how. I think this is a pretty dirty move. Just because the floodgates for this, you know, once they open, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle. But so Ted Cruz's wife was having a group text message with her friends talking about planning the trip essentially to Cancun and staying at the Ritz-Carlton and everything else. And somebody in the text group screenshot it and released it to a local news organization in Austin first. They were the first ones to get it.
No, that's creepy.
The only way it's not creepy is if you didn't ask to be on that text chain and you were included.
If somebody accidentally included you, or you just didn't want to be included.
Yeah. It's like there's a couple text chains in my phone where there's like 30 people on them, and it like you can get like 100 messages in 5 minutes,
yeah,
and I just have it muted. Because I don't want to be on this chain, and you can't leave it because
they see that you leave it.
Well, it's not even that. You still get it because somebody
It's
in their phone, so the other people text, and then you just keep coming back to
You can remove yourself from a text message. I've done it.
It keeps coming back. I've tried.
No, they keep adding you back.
Yeah, they keep adding you back.
No, they legit are saying, Mahoney, you're never going to leave this.
It's like a gang, man.
Yeah, once you're in, you're in. Sorry. Out. So can everyone calm down about the emoji thing?
The latest thing
is that Apple unveiled a small change to their syringe emoji. It had blood droplets coming out of it, and everyone was freaking out about that. And also because it's just too graphic. It's just too graphic.
But I feel like anytime you put a syringe, even if you're just getting like say a vaccine or you're getting any other normal shot, blood comes out.
Well, so here's the thing, though, is that, I mean, they've also included the heart on fire, a face with swirly eyes, both men and women to have beards. I think it would be healthier for society if we stopped looking for validation from emojis.
I wish we could just go back to the old school, just colon and parentheses. Those are the OG emojis.
Or the semicolon.
Did you guys see
the wink? I never did that.
I used to do the wink all the time.
The Zoomers telling the millennials that the laughing emoji face makes you old and lame.
Colon D?
No, just a laughing face with like the tears coming out of it.
Really?
If you use that, you're old balls now.
That's my go-to.
You have to use, like, I was anti-emoji when they first came out because I was old school emoji. Like the emoticons, whatever they were called originally. But now, like, the sensitivity of texting, like, to convey the proper emotion, like, you need that in there to let somebody know, like, that I'm not being a dick.
I legit had a friend one time stop texting and ask me what color hands he should use for the high five, because it just has the standard yellow ones.
Yeah.
And he's a white guy, but he was going to do the second one over, and he's like, am I tan enough to do this, or does this seem... I'm like, dude, shut up.
Just stop. Yeah.
Who cares?
Just use whatever is there. I think that it's just, I don't know. It's ridiculous. And like you said, people getting angry and saying that you're old for using the laughing emoji. Now we're policing who can and can't use emojis.
It's no longer cool to do like a laughing.
Also,
you're like, stop.
Even though Dave and I are not boomers and we are not I'm technically a millennial.
You're
technically Gen X, but we're the Oregon Trail generation. I don't care what Zoomers or anybody else, any other generation, thinks of what I do. I don't.
Yeah, you've reached the point.
Don't give a damn.
Yeah.
I'm gonna live my life and be happy.
Do you remember when you were young and you thought that you had a grasp and really understood what was cool and what mattered in life? And now in hindsight that you've gotten
None
older,
of that
you
matters.
Go, I didn't have any
idea
what I was talking
about. And your parents told you.
Yep.
And they told you. You know they did.
You didn't
and
believe
you're like,
them.
You don't know what you're talking about, Mom.
You old loser.
You don't understand. You're not cool. Even though you're only like 20 years older
my
than
mom
me.
My mom tried to tell me.
You're pretty close in age. Like you actually knew what was
my
going
mom
on.
Tried to tell me to save all of my clothes because they always come back around.
And
she didn't tell me I was going to gain 40 pounds. So none of them would fit anyways.
Well, tube tops now?
Yeah, tube tops. Yeah.
And finally, there's some good news about the Pfizer vaccine. They're now saying that it can be stored in normal freezer temperatures, which is a big,
really?
Big boom. Yeah.
How did they figure that out?
You know, you'd think that they would.
Somebody just like put it in like a Coleman.
Yeah, and it's just like, yeah, that's put it in,
it
my,
works
in,
still.
My, in
cool.
my Yeti. It's fine. And also they now have enough information where they figured out that getting a single dose of the Pfizer vaccine, which, by the way, no health experts are recommending just getting a single dose.
No.
But they have done enough analysis on it now where when you do have a single dose, even before you get the second dose, it's 85% effective at preventing the coronavirus.
Beautiful.
Which is
a science. Big thing. We were talking about engineers, scientists, unsung heroes of the earth.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
You guys
Thank
are awesome.
You.
The David Mahoney Morning Show present The Internet is
Awesome.
The Internet is Awesome is where we round up some of our favorite audio clips that have happened over the past 5 days or so, and we listen back to them because sometimes these gems deserve to be revisited, and there's so much great stuff on the Internet. Trying to find those gems each week, it's not easy. Ian does a masterful job, and one of the features that always brings us great audio is Cover Your Ears, because it's the feature where we play songs that are very popular songs that you've heard before, but people doing covers of them, and that's where we start today, and this is a cover of Alien Ant Farm or Michael Jackson with Smooth Criminal. And we talk about Alien Ant Farm and how their career was made by covering this song.
Of course.
These guys may have had their career made by just covering the cover of Michael Jackson's
Smooth
Criminal.
It's coverception.
It is. And it is a gem. Internet is awesome. Here we go.
Came into your apartment, left the blood stains on the carpet. He was here at the table. She could see she wasn't able. So she ran into the bedroom. She was struck down. It was her doom. Annie, are you okay? Said, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? Annie, are you okay? Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? Annie, are you okay? Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Annie?
Yes, Copper said rhythm is optional. You know, it's very abstract.
Well, it's avant-garde. Indeed, this is the free-form jazz.
How'd you get the organ all the way down in your mom's basement? That's my question. That's crazy.
It reminds me of Jeff Goldblum's
jazz.
That
sounds like the dirtiest statement you have ever said.
How'd you get that organ in your mom's basement?
Okay.
You should be arrested. Right. I'm calling the police.
I will see my way out.
On to the next one here, and this could only happen in 2021, but this is a real gem. A woman who lives in Florida, who said that her father worked for Tiffany & Company back in the 70s, was the original creators of the Lombardi Trophy, wants a personal apology from Tom Brady for throwing the trophy from one boat to the other in the Super Bowl parade because her father had a part in making the trophy.
We
so she
seen,
wants Tom Brady to come and apologize to her.
Dave, we have seen quite the Super Karens. Across the, all spectrums, but this may be the most Karen moment of 2021.
Which is maybe even of 20 and 21 combined. I mean, there's been a lot of things that we've seen.
But the entitlement here is just, through the roof.
This is real.
I have a big history of this trophy being made by my father. I didn't sleep because of this. I was that upset. I only watched the game to watch the trophy come out. This has nothing to do with your athletic ability whatsoever. It has everything to do with disrespecting a highly coveted trophy. I personally would like an apology, not just to me and my family and the other silversmiths, but to the fans.
Shut up.
I wish this was a hoax. I wish this was somebody who got somebody in the local news, doing something stupid. But this is 100% real, and it's just embarrassing, Karen.
I mean, I feel like she should be more upset at what Gronk did with it. try to put it up his butt.
He did try to put it up his butt.
I saw that.
He did. He did.
She's I think okay if he wanted that. To,
She's
he could have.
Okay
yeah.
Gronk, anything he puts his mind or butt to, yeah. he can accomplish.
If he loves it enough, he can make it happen. So we have Bleep BS, which is another game that we do on the show. And if you're not familiar, it's just stuff that's going on in the world right now. But there are some strategically placed bleeps, which makes being whatever's being talked about difficult to figure out if you have a dirty mind, which, of course, we all do. And in this case, it was another cover song. So it was somebody doing a cover of Jack and Diane, only again strategically placed bleeps, and it ended up sounding like this.
Sucking on a 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 sucking on sucking on.
Now what he's actually saying is chili dog, so let's listen to the original here, because it does slap,
as the
kids say.
But the bleep is so
the bleeps are wonderful.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, this is what you get.
So good.
Sucking on a chili dog. 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 Chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog.
Insane.
Sucking on a dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on.
Man, I love me some Johnny
so
Cougar Mellencamp,
so
right?
Right?
But the guy was actually pretty good. I want to hear him sing more.
But the bleeps, so much better, right?
Sucking on a sucking on a sucking on a sucking on a
it could be my wedding song.
Sucking on a sucking on a sucking on.
Ian, as a married man, I can tell you that is not your wedding song.
Oh, come on.
The David Mahoney Morning Show, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
So some breaking news here, the David Mahoney Morning Show. Audrey's pizza that she ordered because she's hungover has arrived.
Finally.
Along with the mozzarella sticks.
Bag is secure.
Yeah, and Mahoney has just went ahead and busted out the beer, so things about to get wild up in here.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
So we have a rule when it comes to breaking the law. Do not break the law while already breaking the law. And these guys did not get that memo. Some Florida police officers tracked down a stolen vehicle. It was a stolen 2020 black Chevy Tahoe located in front of a business called Graphics with an X.
Hell
two
yeah.
men came to the door to speak with officers. They explained that the business was vinyl work, T-shirts, stickers, and such. Law enforcement noted the smell of marijuana coming from the business. Then detectives called for a warrant, and law enforcement found printing and packaging equipment, scales, and several pounds of THC edibles, along with 4 pounds of flower marijuana. The edibles looked like normal candy. They were making weed nerd rope knockoffs that looked like the real thing.
Huh, interesting.
I have no problem with people smoking weed and or eating weed if you are of a legal age to do so, but they're in a state where it is not legal, and again, they had a stolen vehicle.
So they're not...
They're not
upstanding
like,
citizens, and yeah. they're not paying taxes on it. Which yep. pay your taxes,
pay your taxes.
We need money for schools, people.
That's right.
I get nervous about those. I mean, I know we're adults, and adults also like candy, like the candy edibles or whatever, and just like weed, chocolate. Or I just get nervous whenever they start making it look too much like candy.
Yeah, I mean, there's kids out there
for
too,
little
man.
Baby hands. Yeah,
you get like having the bottles that are difficult to open or whatever it is. Like, don't have it. Also, I don't want to be surprised. Even if you like weed,
yeah.
nobody wants to get surprise high.
No, yeah. Oh, the surprise
oh,
high
no.
is the
surprise
worst.
High
oh my
is
gosh,
the worst.
You can't yep. unsurprise high yourself.
Right, it's true.
Wait
so
it out.
This guy, not on the weed, on the sauce instead, and may have overdone it just a bit. You guys, tell me what you think. His name is John. He was making a graphic gestures, if you will, towards a glass door of a building, and he appeared to be extremely intoxicated,
mm-hmm.
sweating. And slurring his words, which is a boy. Really interesting way to describe him. Yeah, he's sweating, slurring, and very drunk. While speaking with the officers that showed up, he made some gestures towards him, and that's when he decided he was going to get into a karate stance for
hell.
Karate.
Hell yes,
for
he is.
No reason at all, said the police officer. And then he just decided that he was going to walk away and started acting aggressively while walking away, and the cop's like, hey, you can't just walk away. You're hammered, and you're making obscene gestures, and you're trying to fight me. And then he ran and jumped into an alley. He actually escaped the police for a moment.
Wow.
Until he started jumping out trying to scare people because he thought it was funny.
This guy, in a matter of 30 minutes, did a lot of very
Dude,
weird
a
things.
Lot,
he's got karate going on, sweating. I mean, this is why he's sweating. This guy's very active.
He's very
I kind of want to hang out with this guy.
He's just trying to close his rings.
Yeah. jumping out, scaring people. people.
Copper in our chat, twitch.tv/David Mahoney said, was he doing the crane?
Yeah, he has the Mr. Miyagi.
Put him in a body bag.
I would die.
So terrifying moment for this poor lady. She found a snake in her toilet. Can't imagine how terrifying that is.
Oh, thank you.
This is over in Czechoslovakia. She, the police over there got a phone call from a terrified woman saying that they'd found a, said she found a snake in her toilet. She blocked the toilet and waited for the officers to show up. The police, of course, rushed to her apartment, trying to figure out how they're, what they're going to do with this large snake. Do we all know where this is going?
No.
It was a piece of poop. They arrived at the scene and they lifted the toilet lid. She'd covered it with electronics. I don't know why, but I just assume it was a VCR to prevent the
Betamax
animal from escaping. Yeah,
she liked the quality.
Yeah, they then one of the officers gathered the courage to lift the lid and sure enough realized it was just a piece of poo.
What would you rather encounter, though? I think I would rather encounter the snake than somebody else's
giant
snake-sized
right
poop.
Yeah, they said their goodbyes, flushed the toilet, and that was it for the.
Oh, they flushed it.
Yeah,
for her.
Yep.
Come on.
Yep.
Oh my gosh! I mean, if you see that big of a poop, do you take?
I feel like
it?
If there's a snake in my, even if there's a real snake in my toilet, and I get scared by it, I'm still gonna flush.
You're gonna flush a snake?
Yeah,
of course.
Well, he climbed up it.
You have a good plumber?
I mean, I mean, what do you call a plumber? And he's going to put another snake in there? The next thing you know, you have like a weird snake orgy happening in your pipes?
Snakeception.
Next thing you know, you're back in grandma's basement and there's a large organ there.
What?
It happens. So a man in Florida, his name is Joseph Davis. He's 48 years old and he decided that he wanted to get engaged to his fiance, which of course
that's
he did.
Sweet.
He got her
I mean,
ring,
we love a love
normal
story on this show, Dave.
Yep.
It's, we're romantic.
He did drop a good amount of money on the ring, $6,270.
Wow. Baller.
Then the story takes an interesting turn because he decided that he no longer wanted to be engaged to his fiance and he wanted to be engaged to somebody that he had just met on OkCupid.
Oh,
and
no.
So he stole his fiance's ring to give it to this other woman, and that is theft. So if you give somebody a ring, if they break off the marriage, then you're entitled in some states to get the ring mm-hmm. back because
it's a conditional gift.
A conditional gift. Yes. You know, I'm giving this to you, and we're going to get married. As if she decides to break it off, in some states she has to give the ring back. But if you give the gift of the ring, you can't just take it back at any point and then give it to some other hussy you just met on the internet. This guy had to learn that the hard way.
How dare you call that lovely lady he met on OkCupid.
OkCupid,
which is the bootleg version of OkCupid that you don't have to pay for. A hussy, Dave.
You know, I don't know if she knew that he was engaged to somebody else, but in the information age,
This
is recycling. He's thinking about the, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, continue going on with blood diamonds and then participating.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, he's thinking about
doing
don't bring
part.
The blood diamonds into this.
Zero blood diamond carbon footprint. That's what I'm going for. Yeah. You know, it's very trendy right
exactly.
now.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Watch the Dave and Mahoney Show live every morning on twitch.tv/Dave and Mahoney.
All right, so every week we decide that we are going to feature some of our not-so-fine moments because we can't just ignore them. I mean, there's been a couple of, you know how when you have car trouble, sometimes it's like, I'll just drive through it, and then there's other times where it's unworkable.
Yes.
There's been a couple of unworkable moments during the show this week. Ian, I always ask you before we get into it, is there a singular star for the blooper reel this week, or was it a team effort?
Dave, I'll be honest with you. Because I was hanging out with Audrey, I kind of don't remember. So I think it was maybe you. Or
maybe
Mahoney,
me. Were you a little drunk when you put this blooper reel together?
Dave, no. I think you had the ultimate.
I did.
This
I had,
week,
I had
so.
One where I just like stopped, and
your,
I was like, let's just start over.
I don't even know if I
your
put
brain
that in there.
Stopped.
Yeah, it just
you
stopped
don't even
working.
Know if you put it in
I don't
there.
Even know if I put it in there.
I was trying to say the misconnection inspection, but for whatever reason, I was saying the missed inspection connection, and I just, yes, it was a mess, but whatever. We suck.
Mess.
Here's the blooper reel.
It's the... That's the blooper reel.
Conservationists are pleading with the public to stop milking psychedelic toads. Psychedelic toads.
Jeff Probst came in and looked at me in my eyes and said, Audrey, kiss me on my forehead just like that. Audrey, would you like to be on Survivor? I would say, yes. Yes, Jeff. Would you like to be on Survivor? I would say, yes.
I mean, I don't wear like excessively baggy clothes
not
or anything.
Hugging khakis.
Anything.
Hugging khakis.
Dude. Way easier than a rear-wheel drive car. That's hard to say.
Real wheel.
Say it three times fast.
Real wheel. What is it?
Rear wheel drive.
Oh wait, what are we trying
rear
to say?
Rear wheel.
Drive.
Yeah, say it.
Rear wheel drive.
Dear. Way easier than a rear wheel. Rear wheel drive.
Real wheel. What is it?
Johnny
hugging khakis.
Would you like to be on Survivor? I would say.
Who?
Yes.
Who?
Yes.
Johnny
hugging khakis.
Who? Psychedelic hills. Way easier than a railroad. Real wheel drive.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Mahoney, this is going to shake you to your core, and I'm sorry to have to give you the news.
What's that, Dave?
Tim Tebow is calling it a career in minor league baseball.
God help us.
Yeah. Tim Tebow, 33 years old, has retired from baseball after five seasons playing for the minor league Mets team. He kind of made a joke about how he's now going to go play in the NBA. He said he loved his baseball journey and has been called in other directions. He's still an on-air analyst for ESPN doing their college football coverage. I feel like Tim Tebow is a very polarizing guy. Either you love him or you hate him. How do you feel about Tebow?
I have nothing against him. I think he's a fine broadcaster. I wondered why he continued to play baseball when you could just go work for the SEC network for the rest of your life and make a boatload of money and not have to travel. Because, I mean, AAA, AA, single A ball is not an easy life, even for somebody who's, you know, got the profile and money that Tebow does.
Copper said, damn, he is really going to miss out on those $500 a week checks. Yeah, it's too bad.
They don't pay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. Like, these guys who go through the ranks and work their way up in minor league baseball love the game. For sure.
Audrey, are you annoyed by Tim Tebow?
He is so tilting to me, especially like Mahoney said, like whenever you're watching him on the SEC network making tons of money and he's just like set up because everybody's working from home, right?
Yeah.
So whenever you're watching him on the screen and he's just yelling into the computer microphone and it sounds like a tin can, I'm like, you work for the SEC network. Get a microphone. It's so annoying.
Yeah. Krusty Andy in our chat, twitch.tv/Dave Mahoney said, Tebow is the only member of the Mets organization that did not send dong photos.
Do you guys believe that he was a virgin when he got married?
No.
I don't either.
No. I think that he was just trying to honey trap some cute little girl.
He's too cute.
I don't think that any of the girls that he was with were virgins either, even though they were all pretending. It's like, yeah, it's like you're all, every single one of these thirst trap wannabe models that he's dating, you're like, some of them were legit models, like the girl that he dated when he was at Florida. You know, you're like, that's just not how virgins act.
That's not. No. Nope.
As somebody that was a virgin for a very long time, that you don't have that.
When you
know what's going on.
An athlete in college, and primarily probably one of the biggest athletes, well, he was, right, of the quarterback of that year.
He won the Heisman. Yeah.
There's no way. There's just no way. Turn it down?
Maybe.
No.
I don't know. I mean, some people
can't simply just because we are
people who lack conviction. No. There are people who do have serious convictions out there, and maybe he's one of them. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's like getting as close as possible, right?
Yeah.
He's soaking for sure.
So I like that Audrey sent this story over. The headline is Dudes Just Want Some Peace and Quiet. And this is a story about a man who turned himself into police to avoid having to spend more time in lockdown with the people that he lives with. The man, whose identity was not disclosed, presented himself voluntarily to police on Wednesday afternoon, reportedly in the hope of getting, quote, some peace and quiet in jail. A wide range of studies have found that the pandemic has taken a toll on relationships with family and friends. I mean, as a dad of three young kids, I can say that there is very little peace and quiet at my house. It doesn't bother me, though. I'm also not the type of guy that really likes a whole lot of peace and quiet.
You like the, well, yeah,
the
you
hustle
even
and
sleep?
Bustle. Dave with can't be on. Doing nothing.
It drives me crazy.
Like, I want nothing more than to do nothing, whereas Dave.
How do you think you would have handled this lockdown if you had three little kids at home? Would it have driven you nuts?
Oh, I would have went out for cigarettes.
And never come back? Moved to the Midwest.
I was around my second family
in Dallas.
I was around a lot of family during Thanksgiving, and enough to where whenever I would leave, the quiet was so nice, and it made me realize I don't want a large family. I don't think.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
Like I like small, keep it small.
What an endorsement! Hey, people that I hung out with over Thanksgiving, you made me realize that I hate people. Even family.
That's why some people go on vacation on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Audrey, I hate to put you on the spot here. Can you remember off the top of your head the best gift that you've ever gotten?
The best gift that I've ever received?
Significant other.
Like material?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a material sort of gift.
Probably my car.
Okay, your car. That's a good example.
Yeah, I love
well,
my car.
One guy over in Dubai just wanted to get the best gift possible for his significant other. He unfortunately got arrested in the process because he stole a newborn valuable baby camel to give to his girlfriend on her birthday.
Oh, I bet a baby camel is
so cute. So cute, right?
Oh, my God.
I never even thought about a baby camel
before. I'm Googling baby camel as we speak.
The report of the baby missing camel had been submitted by its owners earlier this month, and police were searching the area. After some time, a source informed the police about a stray camel that invaded his farm about 2 miles away. He intended for a grown-up camel, but he couldn't catch it, so he just stole a baby camel instead. Mahoney, the verdict is in. What is it?
We are looking at baby camels right now and losing our minds. They are just like the fuzziest, happiest little dudes. I'm going to go steal a baby camel right now. I need a baby camel in my life.
He's so cute. How small do you think they are?
I mean, camels get real big.
Real big.
Like, camels can run, like 30 miles an hour, 40
Which
miles
is
an
very
hour.
Very strange.
What is a camel?
It's like a camel.
It's like a llama mixed with a horse.
It's like a horse that they dropped on the floor when God was making them.
Watch the show live and for free. Broadcasting now at twitch.tv/David Mahoney.
You think he's just like a, whoops. Well, yes. Let's just keep it. And then have it store water in its humps. Yeah, give it big old back boobies.
And then have Fergie write a song about it.
Yeah.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So, man, Dolly Parton, we talk about her all the time. She is just a national treasure for sure. And the people in Tennessee, the lawmakers, introduced a bill that they actually wanted to erect a statue of her on the Capitol grounds in Nashville. And you're like, hell yeah, that makes all kinds of sense. And, of course, Dolly Parton, being as awesome as Dolly Parton is, said, no, thanks.
Now's not the time.
She said, given all that's going on in the world, I don't think putting me on a pedestal is appropriate at this time. And she's like, maybe later down the road, including after I pass, you could put up a statue. But she's like, there's too much going on in the world. It's not about me right now. Why don't we just hold off? Which, again, is just the most selfless Dolly Parton thing to do ever.
National treasure. I mean, really, everything she does. And she does, like, her initiatives for charity.
Yep. She helped fund the vaccine.
She did. And, you know, her reading campaigns are huge. You know, the feeding kids campaign. Like, Dolly just does it all, man. Like, I've never been to Dollywood, but I want to go.
You haven't.
I want to go.
So the rep who introduced it, his name is John Mark Wendell. He said in advocating for the statue that he wanted to put it up for all that she's contributed to the state. At this point in history, is there a better example, not just in America, but in the world, of a leader that is a kind, decent, passionate human being? She's also a passionate person that loves everyone, and everyone loves her. She again thanked the legislature for their consideration, said she was honored and humbled by their intentions, but does not think that this is the appropriate time.
And you know what's something awesome? Like, Dolly Parton has been around, you know, longer than I've been alive, and been famous way longer than I've been alive. I have no idea what her politics are. Don't care at one bit. I just know that she wants to help people and does the right thing and is just like, you know, you think of examples like you want your kids to grow up to be like Dolly Parton, the archetype for that.
She's so perfect that she even politely asked a woman to leave her man alone. She used the word please.
Yeah.
She said, please, Jolene, do not take my man.
Please.
I think
please
that I would have been a little bit a little more feistier.
Here's the thing. If Dolly's man was going to leave her, he's a dummy.
He is a dummy.
I mean, Dolly Parton classically, I mean, not only you take everything that she does, the philanthropy and everything like that, but she's one of the most beautiful women to ever live.
She's still my hall pass.
And she's been awesome for 70 years.
Yes. Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So this is sad, and I had no idea, but Demi Lovato has revealed that she has brain damage from that 2018 overdose.
That's crazy.
So she overdosed.
What brave of her to come out and say that.
In 2018, and she said she had 3 strokes and a heart attack, and she still has physical limitations that can affect her. She revealed for the first time publicly that it was a near-fatal incident. And Demi Lovato, Dancing with the Devil, which is a 4-part documentary series, which is debuting next month, March 23rd, on YouTube Originals. In the trailer, Lovato said doctors told her family she had 5 to 10 minutes to live.
Oof.
She said the lasting repercussions are still there to remind me whatever could happen if I ever got back to that dark place again.
Well, you know, here's the thing. And nobody is perfect. Nobody, you know, everybody stumbles. It's and the fact that she's able to, like, kind of get back up, turn it around, and talk about it. I think that's so important to be able to talk about your failures and, you know, traumatic things that have happened to you. And I think it's going to try to help other people who may be in a similar circumstance down the road. So whether you like her as an artist or not, I think this is a brave thing for her to do, and I appreciate it.
So anyone here a big fan of Meek Mill?
For sure.
Sure, fine. Yeah.
He has made a lot of people mad because he's got a new song out with lyrics referencing Kobe Bryant and a helicopter.
Oh.
Which,
pretty fresh. And also, what in context? Like, I mean, like, is he like saying like
you're going
Kobe? The lyric read, and if I ever lack, I'm going out with my chopper, it be another Kobe. So
no.
That's
not
good. A little too soon.
That's
and
also about gun violence. What are you doing?
Not even a good rhyme there.
And Mahoney is.
I got bars.
Yeah, he does.
I got drops bars.
Xanax specifically, if you'd like to buy some.
Candy, actually. Candy.
I eat a lot of nuts.
Well, all right then, friends, it's Friday.
All I want to do is drink beer for breakfast.
We have successfully made it through another week.
Successfully.
Man, I've been drinking already. It hits the lips and my mouth stops working.
Mm-hmm.
Except
for
curse.
In certain circumstances.
Well, I am glad to be drinking with you, friends, because there's no place that I would rather be right now than with you and with a beautiful craft beer in front of us. The original, often imitated, never duplicated beer for breakfast is back for another thrilling edition.
And we have ourselves some Ballast Point that we are featuring today. Very excited about this. Their tagline is dedicated to the craft. Ballast Point is one of the first craft brew houses in America that went on to have huge national and global success.
One of the reasons why, I was a big fan of Ballast Point many, many, many years ago, and their Sculpin just, it pulled me in. It was one of the best IPAs on the market for many, many, many years, and I love that they've branched out, and now the fact that it's available across the entire country is a beautiful thing. I don't think more craft beer in more places will ever be a bad thing, in my opinion.
So let's dive into this one, Mahoney. I've already had one, and Audrey and her hangover have inspired me to just go ahead and get after it.
Keep
today.
It going.
Yep. So, and Audrey also, even though Roaring Hangover ordered a pizza at 7 a.m., has a cold beer in her hand. Have you had a sip yet?
I am ready to rally. No, I haven't. I'm kind of nervous, to be honest.
You'll be fine. Once it hits the lips, it goes down so smooth. And today's beer, the Ballast Point Aloha Sculpin Hazy IPA, has 7% alcohol by volume. Today being served from a 12-ounce beautiful purple can with a great piece of artwork on the front. That Sculpin, absolutely beautiful. I love the artwork that they do over at Ballast Point. It does
have... they sent us a little care pack that actually had like coloring books and beautiful coasters. Like, the artwork is... I think a big part of what sets craft beers apart. And
if you have
Ballast
bad
Point,
packaging, it doesn't matter. Like, people aren't going to buy it. Like, if you, the put the care and detail that you put into your beer into your packaging as well. I mean,
an average package is fine in some circumstances, not with craft beer.
Not with craft beer. Mm-mm. It does have a code on it at the bottom, but it doesn't say when exactly this was brewed. The Aloha Hazy. I don't know. I mean, it sure tells it, but I don't know how to read it. The Aloha Hazy IPA comes in a six pack and usually priced around $12.99 per six pack.
January.
My code says Krigabigik Pigib Okay. Okaba.
January.
Mine says
4/8/15/16/23/42.
That is
January. Okay, Audrey can read, and we're just dumb.
Yes.
That checks out. The proper glassware to serve this out of, I prefer to serve this out of a pint glass. Serve it anywhere between 45 and 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The five categories in which we rate every single beer on Beer for Breakfast: look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability. I don't know if we needed a drum roll to announce the five categories, Dave, because they're the same.
It kind of worked, though, didn't it? It sort of
works. Yeah. Let's start off with the look. Just like a hazy golden orange, a nice, like, fluffy 2.5 inches of pillowy head that faded away after a few minutes, leaving behind a lot, as you can see right there.
What's wrong with pillowy head?
I don't like the way you said
You've got
it.
A pillow behind you.
2 inches of pillowy head.
What's wrong with
you? You have a pillow with a head on it.
It's a Nicolas Cage
It's a Nicolas Cage pillow
that you are using right now.
Doesn't he look really creepy?
No, wait, he looks very sexy. Those are bedroom eyes.
That's a pillowy head.
Those are his bedroom eyes?
Hell yeah.
Run.
Let's move on to the next case.
As you put it in your crotch. Like, what are you talking about,
Andy? I don't know. I was just trying to forget.
Nick, it's going to be okay.
Run.
It's going to be okay, Nick.
Okay, what's the next one,
Mike?
Which is the smell. Let's all take a big whiff of the nose of the Ballast Point.
Not a huge nose on it.
What? It smells like pine cones. Smells like pines.
Maybe I've just...
Ian?
Because I've already drank a can of it, but I'm not getting a big nose.
Dave, I think you're drunk.
Huge nose.
Maybe.
I don't really smell much, Mahoney. I'm going out of the can, but I definitely am getting some fruit.
Yeah, it's not a huge nose, but there is a nice sweetness that kind of jumps out and tickles the tip of your nose right there. I think this is a very inviting nose. It doesn't off-put me and makes me want to take a drink of this hazy IPA. Let's all cheers and let's celebrate.
You know what? I'm gonna cheers to Beef, who is watching along in the Twitch chat. Said, I'm drinking in my PJs right now.
My man.
Happy Friday morning.
Living your best life. Treat yourself. Let's take a big old drink of the hazy IPA from Ballast.
I'm going to cheers the Nick Cage pillow. I hope he's doing okay down there.
Honestly, probably not.
didn't shower this morning, huh?
I did.
Audrey, not usually a big fan of the IPA. She's more of a porter and a stout type of gal. What are your thoughts on the hazy IPA from Ballast Point?
Honestly, this is probably one that I would be able to drink fairly easily in the IPA world. Mm-hmm. I do get a lot of that, like that pine coney type of taste that I tend to get with a lot of these IPAs. But with that being said, there is that fruity back note that I can not, I don't want to say push through, but like it comes quicker than the hoppies taste last if that makes sense.
Yeah. Fair enough. And you know, one of the interesting things, Dave, you are a big IPA fan.
IPAs.
You've already plowed through one of these in a short period of time. You were on to your second. What are your thoughts on the taste?
So the biggest takeaway for me is that it's got a real hop bite to it after, like the aftertaste to it, really like the hop bite
nice
lingers.
How to do.
I like that. Yep. If you're not a big IPA fan, I would get how maybe you wouldn't like that.
Yes.
It's really refreshing as you're drinking it, but that hop bite really lingers. So depending on how you feel about the hops, I like that. I like the piney taste. I've really become accustomed to IPAs.
It's a West Coast hazy as opposed to a New England style hazy, which you have just that are just basically like orange juice in a can, which I like in certain circumstances, but I can't drink all the time. Whereas I like this West Coast one because it kind of fuses the juiciness and the old school West Coast, which makes sense because Ballast Point being located in San Diego, that West Coast style IPA together into a nice, interesting fusion. You get that subtle citrus that starts off. It blends very well with that hop bite at the end. That just it's just a very easy to drink and very enjoyable mouthfeel all the way around. The interesting part of this beer, 7% alcohol by volume, and it drinks like there's no alcohol in it whatsoever.
Drinks really, really, really easy, and it's bright, and it's the sort of thing that would be good, I think, on a hot day too.
I mean, I love this.
Normally IPAs, you know, sometimes they can get a little heavy depending on the. This is very light, very
citrusy, and this does not get over citrusy at all. The mouthfeel on this, it's light bodied and easy drinking. The overall drinkability of the Ballast Point Aloha Sculpin Hazy IPA. I've been a Ballast Point fan for a long time, and no shock, this is a really solid beer. The Hazy IPA is perfect for a laid back day. I like it if there's a little bit of sun out there. It goes down smooth, but still has a lot of flavor and is very refreshing. This is a very balanced and delicious beer overall. Can I get a drum roll, please, Dave?
Sir.
Mahoney's Beer Scout Supremacy, I give the Ballast Point Aloha Sculpin Hazy IPA a 4 out of 5.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
My girlfriend refuses to eat shrimp. Can you guys please confirm that shrimp is amazing and she is a maniac? Thanks.
Message deleted.
I don't think shrimp in and of themselves are amazing. Everything that comes with shrimp is amazing.
Well, like the cocktail sauce has to be just right. It has to have an obscene amount of horseradish in it. And I'm talking about like that good raw.
Make it hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, burn. Burn.
But or butter.
Butter.
Or
good.
Butter.
But butter's better with crab legs.
It is, but I also like buttered shrimp. Like if you go like a shrimp scampi or something like that. Shrimp by themselves, like even just grilled shrimp, if you don't put a copious amount of butter or like maybe Italian dressing on there, they don't have a taste. It's just like a texture in your mouth.
I love shrimp and like jambalaya.
Give me a prawn.
Oh, shrimp
chili
and grits.
Chili prawn.
Oh.
Razor said shrimp and grits. So
oh, yeah.
But again, you need the things around shrimp that, you know, just normal shrimp or just conduits of soaking up other flavors.
But man, when you go to a good steakhouse and they got those jumbo shrimp cocktails, like the kind where they're, you're like, I didn't know that shrimp got this big. Like that's...
Oh, the fatty shrimp?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like
those
are
some prawns, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Get some prawns.
I feel like those are steroided shrimp.
Whatever. Juicing.
Whatever. That's fine.
Roided out.
I'm fine with both my...
they set off the lunk alarm at Planet Fitness.
My shrimp and my athletes being on all sorts of steroids. Makes it more entertaining.
Oh, yeah. I want to be able to watch my shrimp do a home run and like...
You guys ever...
Yeah, give me the Sammy Sosa shrimp.
Intentionally walk my shrimp. That's how big I want them. Please.
Oh, the Mark McGuire.
I think I know the answer for Dave. But I think Ian probably has. Have you guys ever eaten fast food shrimp from like a Captain D's or a Long John Silver?
Why do you know that answer for me?
No, because I feel like the answer is no.
Fast food shrimp?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that I would right now go intentionally seek out fast food shrimp, but there are definitely times in life where I've learned the lesson by eating fast food shrimp. It hasn't been bad. It's just they're normally...
Popcorn shrimp.
The popcorn shrimp. And if you just deep fry them enough, it's like when you go to one of those restaurants that have the Bang Bang shrimp. It's mostly just breading and then a bunch of goo that's delicious and terrible for you.
Goo.
I want a hush puppy, man.
Give like the stuff you dunk puppies. It in, you know what I'm talking about? It's like the yum yum sauce or whatever, but.
I used to go to Captain D's and Long John Silver's like once a year as my like trashy, gross one thing that I would eat. And it would always be like the popcorn shrimp with the hush puppies.
Yeah.
Those hush puppies hit.
So good.
Yep.
Oh, man. Mm. Yeah, whoever's that girlfriend, she sucks.
Screw her.
So I'm watching the Great Outdoors movie with Dan Aykroyd and the late, great John Candy. And I get to the 96-ounce steak scene, and I can't help but to think that Mahoney and Dave are those two people of Dan Aykroyd and John Candy in that scene, with Mahoney eating the steak and Dave being Dan Aykroyd's character.
Message deleted.
I mean, that's 6 pounds of steak. That's not my favorite part of that movie. I mean, if you're not fluent with John Candy's movies, do yourself a favor. Rent them all. They're all masterful. But when they shoot the bear in the ass with the lamp gun, and the bear has a bear ass.
Could you eat 6 pounds of steak?
No. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
This is the same guy who said he could eat 200 chicken wings in a day.
And 50 donut holes.
I could eat 50 donut holes, stand on my head.
You couldn't.
6 pounds of steak is just, I think it's just too rich.
Rich?
50 donut holes.
Yeah, 50 donut holes.
In one morning show.
4 hours, sure. You're asking like 12 donuts an hour. That's like one donut every 10 minutes.
Easy.
Math.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy at the beginning. It's easy for the first hour or two,
but I'm not, like I said, I weighed myself this morning before the show, and I weighed the lowest I've weighed in years. So I, you know, these theoretical food eating competitions you want me to participate in, Dave, I can't.
They're not theoretical. Now it's real.
I can't do it.
Why not?
I'm on a diet.
Do it like a getting guacamole.
Healthy. 2021's a healthy year.
Guacamole challenge. See how much guacamole he can eat.
Yeah, then I'm gonna weigh 18 pounds more because it's so salty.
Yeah,
delicious though. And stop telling me to put tomatoes in my guacamole, people.
Could you snort one line of guacamole?
No.
Come on, man. No,
dude, like a serrano pepper going up my nose?
Yeah.
I would cry.
And
why
here?
Are you wanting him to snort a line of guacamole? I've never
thought of that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on social media. At Dave and Mahoney. Listen live on demand on the radio.com app and follow at Dave and Mahoney.
All right, as we round things out today here in Las Vegas, just a reminder, if you are listening along today and you'd like to join us, we're doing a virtual happy hour tomorrow. We featured some Ballast Point on the morning show today for beer for breakfast, and tomorrow we are going to be drinking a whole bunch of that. So if you want to drink along with Ballast Point, you can go to your local...
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Literally
right?
Everywhere.
And grab the Ballast Point, or if you just want to drink whatever, 3 o'clock tomorrow on twitch.tv/Dave Mahoney. We'll be broadcasting it live there. We'd love to have you join along. But unfortunately, guys, we have to end the show with some sad news.
No.
The Hustler Club has paused the Larry Flint Celebration of Life.
Why are they doing that?
Well, they said in a statement, "We have decided to postpone Larry Flint's celebration of life out of respect for a grieving widow. We, too, are saddened by the loss of our partner and dear friend and stand by his immediate family during this difficult time." In other news, Larry Flynt's Hustler Club just planned a huge stripper blowout party without talking to the family
first. I thought they were involved.
No. That's what I was. No. I thought I assumed that too, yeah.
Wait, is this real that Jason Mahoney, is that really a...
That's, there's a person, well, it's spelled a little differently, but...
No, but I mean, it's M-O-H-N-E-Y. Jason Mahoney is the spokesperson for the Hustler Club?
No, there's some... Mahoney? There's some guy...
Mahoney.
There's some guy in Las Vegas. I don't know if it's the same one. I've been getting these messages randomly for years. Like, hey, are you the same guy who's blah blah blah? But like, worked in the strip club.
He's
industry?
The PR guy
so
for
I don't
the
know
Hustler
if it's
Club.
This guy, but like, who's been in the Las Vegas like
scene for a while,
strip club scene for a long time. I thought he used to own something like way more sketchier than the like. Like the Hustler Club. I thought it was like Play It Again Sam's or something.
Oh.
Well, I mean, you got to move on up. Maybe he moved on up to the Hustler Club after, you know, Play It Again Sam's or the library.
His father's name is Harry Mahoney, and he owned 132 strip clubs.
Is it Mahoney?
See, okay. Mahoney. They always asked if I was related to Harry.
Yeah, he did. Deja Vu.
Deja Vu. Yeah. There we go. Okay.
So what's funny is that we've got Jason Mahoney, who is running strip clubs, and then we've got some dude named Doug Farah who's out there showing his ding-a-ling at nothing but cakes.
Oh, no.
Man, and what is Sheriff going on? Dave Mahoney, who
and Sheriff
hates
Dave
us
Mahoney, who from Arizona, hates us because he keeps trying to run for re-election. Anytime somebody Googles Dave Mahoney, like a bunch of dick jokes come up, and it's us. He's trying to run a serious political career. Yeah. Well, on that note.
You think we should move to his county and run
just
for sheriff?
Run for sheriff.
I mean, if they give me a pretty sweet ass car and a gun, I'm in.
You give me a six shooter, I am down, man. Let's go.
A hat. Take a hat.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one that means home, sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills. Oh, you certainly will agree with me. It's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada. Home means the hills. Home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills. Out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best. Fairer than all I can see. Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada